Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Red, what's good? Yeah.
What's good?
Difficulties for a minute there. Not much. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm chilling.
How are you?
How are you? I'm fine. I'm chilling.
So far, so good. What up? What's going on, everybody? It is Big Red and Brother B with another episode of The Menu on Blog Talk Radio. How y'all feeling out there? Hope everyone.
How y'all feel,
you know,
out there?
As well. Yeah, hope everyone's well. Yeah, I know. I was watching. You know, once again, you know, I'm not big on the news, but I was looking at the news this morning. I see there's a lot of people without power, and this is really the wrong time to not have power. So we're gonna send a prayer, a cool prayer, out to you guys that are without power, which means without AC and
without
Wi-Fi. Other things.
Yeah,
yeah, without Wi-Fi, you know, food going bad in the fridge.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had that problem yesterday, but I don't understand how they're saying that people are out power. Talking about the storm, wasn't that storm last week? I don't understand how that happened. That storm was last week.
The telephone lines. I mean, well, not telephone line, but the electric lines. The power lines, like, they have to be fixed because of the storm. It was, from my understanding, and from what I saw on the roads, there was a lot of trees that were down, and they hit a lot of power lines, and, you know, a lot of homes, you know, were affected, you know, by it. So, you know, Con Ed,
wow.
You know, PSE&G, LIPA, you know, everybody's out there trying to, you know, fix things, but, you know, it just takes time, you know. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
wow,
quick,
man.
You know, you can destroy something quick. But put it up is another situation. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, my Wi-Fi
you know.
Was off for the whole day and night. You know I wasn't happy.
Peace.
What's up?
Start moving stars, baby. What's happening?
Listen,
what's
she's still complaining about Wi-Fi. Listen,
that's
as
right.
Long as I've known you. Wait. Nah, as long as I've known you, which is all my life. Your Wi-Fi ain't nothing compared to AC. Now, if you ain't got AC, listen, you would have been in these streets. Somebody would have got their ass whipped. Big red hot? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody would have got stepped on.
Yeah, somebody would have got hurt because.
He would have been like, Hulk smash.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Wi-Fi, you know, I could take that, but if I didn't have electricity... And no AC, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a fight.
It would have been a problem.
Yeah, she bought a sleeping bag in my crib. She's like, yo,
right,
Lord,
exactly.
I'm coming through, cousin.
Yep, me and Luna.
No,
me
cat.
And Luna would have been right there.
No, cat. No cat.
Luna.
Like tuna, Luna.
Yeah, Luna.
Look at Lulu.
Yeah.
No.
Yo, before we start getting underway, I feel it's necessary. I have to say it because you know what? If I don't say it, it makes me feel like I'm just kind of ignoring it, and I can't. You know, someone that was someone somewhat close to me, but even closer to a family member of mine. Took their life last week, and mental illness is real.
I'm sorry to hear that, bro.
Yeah, me too, man. It really threw me off. I mean, good kid, 19 years old, man. Like, we have to like, I know there's a lot going on in the world, but yo, we have to stop and take account of what really, really matters. Like, we need to really start being more vigilant and looking out for one another, especially our loved ones. You know, asking them, hey, you okay? I mean, sometimes I ask, you know, a loved one of mine, you okay, a million times, and a million times they say it, but you never know, that million and one, they might be like, all right, well, this is the deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, shit is thick out here, man. And as much as we want to, you know, seem like we strong and we can handle it, even the strongest break down sometimes. You know, it happens, but mental illness is real, especially in the Black community. Like, stop being concerned with all this material shit and all this other bullshit, and you'll focus on what really matters, because all that shit ain't going to mean nothing to you in the box. You know what I'm saying? You can turn around and talk about, well, I'm living for today, but when tomorrow gets here, what you going to have? If you're living for today, what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about next year? Have a vision. Have a plan. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really...
Well, that's the problem. People don't want to talk about it. Like, in the Black community, not to cut you up, but that's the problem. Like, you know, when they know somebody has a problem, they just brush it off instead of talking about it. Or you try to suggest, you know, going to see somebody, but, oh, I'm not crazy. Oh, they're going to psychiatrist is crazy. No, it's not always about that. If you can't talk about your problem with it, maybe people that are around you that you can't talk those problems out with, so you may have to see somebody professional. But with Black,
exactly.
You know, with our people, it's always a stigma, and then that person feels a certain way, and this is why they feel they can't come to anybody, or they don't even want to go seek professional help, because somebody's going to make this all, well, you go see a psychiatrist, or something's wrong with you. No, it's like, no, that's the problem. We need to stop that.
And as much as society wants to sit out there and say, oh, we're here to help you, let you put down on a job application, or somebody asks you a question, and you're doing something, and you say, yeah, well, I had to do a psyche eval for this, or this and that, and then you're late. So then they wonder why people don't go get help. You can't be a hypocrite, but even though we live in a hypocritical society, you can't say go get help, but then you don't want to help those that need help. You know, truly you don't want to help them, or you don't want to give them a chance to prove themselves that, you know, that they're good, that they recovered, that, you know, everything is okay. And it's annoying. It's annoying. It's hurtful. And, you know, to those out there that are listening, that's going through something, there's always going to be someone, whether they're next to you or even a stranger, but there's always going to be someone that can relate to what you're going through. You just got to find them, and you can't sit here and think that you're all alone in this, because you are not. There are telephone numbers, there are programs, you know, I mean, hey, you got to do something. Don't abuse alcohol, don't abuse the drugs, because that's just an escapism that's going to lead you to a dead end.
Right, that's
anyway.
The first thing they go for. Mm-hmm.
So taking your own life, man, it may sound like a solution, but I really thought about it like this. What if what you were running from in life, you couldn't even run from in death? But it's only going to take death for you to find that out. So why take the chance? There's always going to be options, different options. As long as you're living, you've got options. Now, beyond that, I don't know what to say. But, yeah, man, we got to do better. You know, rest in peace, kid. But we got to do better. But,
bless.
You know, once again, it is the menu on Blog Talk Radio. Big Red, Brother B. We got Brother Ron in the house. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. Now, this topic tonight, and I'm very much looking for Brother Ron. I'm glad you called in to, you know, to drop knowledge. I know Lady T will probably be calling in sooner or later. But it's all good. But my thing is, and K-Dog, and Hot Rod, I know you're kind of under the weather right now. I'm rooting for you, brother. You know, rest. You know,
feels better.
Yeah. Can children still be children in this current climate?
Mm.
Now, where I'm coming from with it is not just the thing of you know, the COVID-19 and kids not being able to go to school and stuff like that. You know, that's certain things are obvious. But I had this conversation with someone about Dwayne Wade and the situation that was going on with his son. Now, they put it out there that his son is trans. He's gay, he's trans, whatever. I guess Dwayne Wade
wanted to do
the whole thing. Okay, trans.
Trans. Because you know you can't, supposedly, it's not supposed to be the same thing, but go ahead, yeah.
It's a whole bunch of labels. Yo,
Europe.
My thing is, you're buggers. So he was going to give his son the operation. Listen, I'm sorry, but fuck what you heard. He's 12 years old. 12 years old, kids change their minds like the wind. I don't know what he may have been exposed to, what he's been seeing, or what he's mimicking. And it's not to say that he may not be sure in what he wants to do, but I don't think it should be a thing where his father steps in and says, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. Because, you see, what if later on down the road he wants to be different? We should not, in other words, we don't need to put our kids in adult decision making. Like, our kids should not be forced to make adult decisions. They shouldn't even be allowed. I remember back when I was coming up, it was, you need to be seen, you can be seen and not heard. If you have something to say, say it, but it don't mean shit. Nowadays, it seems like these kids coming up, they have too many rights. You know what I'm saying? And if it may sound messed up the way I'm saying it, but it's like they have too many options. It's like, yo, let them be a kid. They don't need the stress or the pressure, you know, of what's going on. Listen, if that's what he wants to do, fine. But you don't need to tout your kid in front of the TV. You don't need to bring your kid to a goddamn parade. You know what I'm saying? Because then it may be a thing where now I have to act the part or I have to be the part because I said I want to be the part. So now I have to follow through. That's pressure. That's pressure, and we don't need to put that on children. And that's just one aspect of the topic tonight. That's just one aspect of it. Let these kids be kids. You as an adult or a parent, we make decisions for our children until they get to an age, which I believe is like 18, where, okay, you can move your ass out and make your own decisions. But now, 12, 11, 5, I mean 5 years old? Oh, yeah, 5 years old, I knew this and this is the way I wanted to go. Really? Like, yo, what are these kids being exposed to? Like, what are you doing? And you know what? If anybody that lives that alternative lifestyle and wants to get mad about it, you can get mad all you want to, because guess what? Nobody's hating on you. Nobody's disrespecting you. But sometimes you just got to call a spade. Because, hey, if my kid came to me and said, hey, dad, I'm this. And I'm like, okay, I'm your dad. What do you want me to do? Like, my love for you is not going to change. I'm not going to look at you differently. All I can do is say, hey, be careful when you're out there in the world. Because not everybody is going to be accepting as
right.
I am.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to respect you as I do. Certain things are just not going to change.
What the hell? I'm sorry.
What's up, 6947? I know. We know it's wrong. What's up, Miss Cherry? How you doing? So, all right.
I'm Miss Cherry.
I basically said what I had to say for now. Who's next to jump in? Because I really, the discussion that I had with somebody the other day, really, you know, that whole thing right there really kind of, it irked me a little bit. Because we shouldn't be exploiting our children. And to me, that was exploitation right there, to the highest form. You just don't
let me,
know,
let, me
well,
say let me say something real quick.
Please.
What it is, my brother, my oldest brother has, what the fuck? I'm sorry. My oldest brother has two children that are in the light. And I changed their diapers. I fed them. And it was kids, babies, babysat them, and the whole shit. You know what I mean? And, like, my nephew, I was like, oh, I kind of knew, like, when he was, like, 3. Like, oh, this boy. You know what I mean? But and then it came to pass, like, they're in the life, both of them. And my older brother, like, he can't relate. You know what I mean? He was the one that gave me jewels about how to kick it to chicks and stuff like that. You know, we come from that era. You know what I mean? We wanted to be men.
Yeah.
So it's like, 10 years ago, what was it? Between 6 and 10 years ago, I explained to him in a nice way, like I explained to him I wanted to be Muslim. When I was 16, between 16 and 18, I wanted to be serious. I wanted to be taken seriously. I wanted to be a man. I always wanted to be an adult. I never wanted to be a child. So when you run into children who doing that shit like, oh, I want to be a fireman. Oh, I want to be a policeman. You know, it's just other little stuff that goes into the play that's in their minds, too. You know, some children, I mean, no, they shouldn't be forced into it, but it's a concentrated effort that's pushed to be non-masculine or to be non-feminine, the female. You dig what I'm saying? So this is not our agenda. This is not black people's agenda. And, like, we shouldn't have it in our communities, but also keep in mind, if you study about time, I'm not okay with the culture. But if you study about time, this is a thing that's always been around. Through ancient Sumer,
yeah,
through Arcadia, and these are black all throughout Africa. You know, I told one brother we was building years ago. I said if God is black, the devil, the Lucifer is black too. So everything that goes along with it. If you can't be good and you can't be and not be bad at the same time, because the good created the bad. You dig what I'm saying? So it's a lifestyle that's chosen. And, you know, through chemical imbalance or whatever, through play, whatever you want. I mean, but it's a chosen lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's like some people say you're born that way. No, it's a choice that you make when you reach a certain age of consciousness or maturity. You know, you make that choice to do that. I know men who are very feminine, but they get more pussy. Excuse my language. They get more chicks than a little bit. You dig what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
You know, I know a lot of chicks. I know a lot of chicks that are not as feminine as most chicks, but they love them some black men. You dig what I'm saying?
Not for
you. You know, but what it is like with old boy, he's in the limelight, and he want to do what he got to do to keep Dwayne Wade. He want to do what he got to do to keep that money coming. You dig what I'm saying? He don't want. He's seen what happens to people that goes against the grain. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
That boy been around.
Absolutely.
So he's a public figure, and
but
he doesn't want to
be. He goes against that.
He gonna lose money.
He gonna lose money. He gonna lose people. Yep.
You know what I mean?
But
so,
you know what?
So Dwayne Wade. I forget where he's from, but excuse me. I know his mama. His mama and him came up poor, and he don't want to go back to that. And he's been living that life. He's been living that life for so long now. You know what I mean? He's used to that. And he'll do anything that the man says, even if he disagrees with it. Dig what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Even if he disagrees.
I feel you.
So Dwayne Wade was never that. It's the same thing, like, I used to tell a brother, like, Michael Jordan, his boy Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman. What's the thing that links them together? The thing that links them together is not just basketball. It's because they think they're ugly, and they just deal with white women. They deal with white women. But they're on the real side, man. You know what I mean? Just to bring it back home. It's just, they feel bad about themselves. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, a white woman is easy. You know, a white woman easy. White woman is very easy to get, but she hard to keep. Your black woman hard to, a black woman hard to get, but she's easy to keep. A lot of us who study women, study our people, these are things that we should all know. You know what I'm saying? But you got to take that. It's a choice. It's a choice. That's all it is.
I mean, yeah, but it's a choice. It's a choice that a child shouldn't have to make. What's up, Lady T?
What's
going on?
Y'all? You gotta,
hey,
you gotta just love, Ron. You just have to.
Oh,
what's up, y'all?
Yeah, yeah. You got it. Yeah,
no, you really
love
do. It's real it in real. No, I like the point.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Yep. So, what you got? What you got on this, Miss Cherry?
As far as the kids dealing with sexuality, that seems kind of young. Period. Whether they're gay or straight, to be dealing with that at 12 and 13, I think that's the bigger picture. But I often wonder, like, in our community, we kind of box out people in where they don't have many options. But black men, if you're hard, then, you know, it's good to be hard because you're masculine. But if you're
Paul.
If you're soft,
what happened? Wait, let her get it out. Let her get it out. Wait, and you keep going in and out, Miss Cherry. What's up? Come again. Yeah.
You heard me? Okay.
I didn't hear the last part you said.
The part that I said when our black men are considered soft, they equate that to being feminine. So if you're not growing up and you don't feel hard, you don't feel like, you know, you're that street hard, where do you go? Maybe that's why some of the kids are confused. They think that, you know, if they're soft, that means yes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know back in the days it used to be like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, kids used to tease each other like, oh, you soft. I'm like, oh, you want some feminine stuff or this, that. So, like, we used to tease and stuff like that. But that was when we were younger, and that was a different time, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's a generational thing. Now, with these newfangled kids, they don't see
it
like that.
I'm saying, like, you're almost forced to accept it. If you don't agree with the lifestyle, I'm not saying you should go out and bash people, but if you don't agree with it, somehow you're demonized. Like, you almost have to accept it.
Especially, yeah, and they'll tell you that you're homophobic.
Especially,
people will tell you that you're homophobic and you don't this and you don't accept and you're not accepting of everybody. No, like I said, I don't. Once again, I don't care what you are as a you know, you could be gay, straight, bisexual. I don't care, trans or whatever. But my only problem with all of that is, like we all saying, it's being forced on children.
Mm-hmm.
See? You don't force it, especially young children. Once again, when you're a certain age, I'm going to say this, over the age of maybe 15 or 16, once you start getting up in that teen or late teens, going into your adulthood, now if you're starting to feel certain things, if you want to go with that certain type of lifestyle, okay, you have that choice of doing it. Like I have a friend that, you know, her daughter was gay 1 year, and the next year she liked dudes. Like, I mean, you know, 1 year she liked females, and the next year she liked dudes, and she was in her 20s
like
already.
She was going through a trend, like she was just
right,
flowing with the trend.
Exactly. And I started seeing that, and I worked in the school as well. I started seeing that years ago with a lot of these young ladies were in 6th and 6th grade, and next week, 1 minute they was, oh, I like girls, and then the next minute they had a boy, you know, the next year they had a boyfriend. Boy, you said you had girls a couple of, you know, about the last, you know, in September you like girls now, and by the next September you like boys. So it's like, just as a brother said, these kids change their minds like every 5 minutes. But then when you're forcing this one on them, that's where the problem comes, or that's where a lot of people have a problem. And then if you don't agree with it, then it's oh, you're being homophobic. Oh, you're this, you're that. No, everybody is not going to jump on board with that, you know, all the time. And especially when you're pushing it on children.
And
then
another thing, it's also become fashionable in certain things within the trends, because you even have people who are gay that will say there's certain people that they feel like are just part of the community to be part of the community, that they're not, let's say, gay or trans or whatever the case is, but
yeah.
within that community also, what's interesting, they have their own titles, like he, she, you got to be called a him,
oh
her.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
When, and to me, yeah, to me, that starts getting disgraceful. I have friends and relatives that are, you know, gay or whatever, and would even say, like, why do I need to be called him, her? Why do I need that label? I am who I am. You know what I mean?
You knew,
so
what, you,
like,
you knew what you was when you was born. You don't change it up now because of what?
Yeah.
Because the white man.
But listen, that's my point. But they have to put a stamp on it. They have to, you got to tell me, are you a him, her? Are you, what is a him, her? You understand what I mean? So it also gets confusing. Yeah. And it's almost like
yeah.
they need extra identification on themselves. So
let me tell you something. You go to Hang News, they got a spot called Hang News, Louisiana, up north, past Monroe County. You go there, you a black man. In the rainbow flag waiver or whatever, you go
mm-hmm.
there after a certain hour, and they gonna let you know two things: you's a black nigga, and we gonna take care of you. You coming to my town at nighttime? They gonna remind
wow.
you who, exactly who you are. And I mm-hmm. and I've seen it as a child. I used to go down. We was going to Louisiana as a child. I was like, oh yeah, you know what I mean. But like yo, it's just like I'll take it back when I was a kid. My uncle, and we talking about influence. Now the man is doing this. Like you gotta study this because this ain't nothing new. And the man ain't doing nothing but imitating us. That's why it's like the original Lucifer is black. So the devil is white, but the devil has no power because it's us. It's always about us. God is black. So the white man being God is nothing. That's why he has no power over us other than the power that we give. This thing, this lifestyle, when you go back to ancient times with you study about Akhenaten. Now, if you know anything about Akhenaten looked like, he looked like Scottie Pippen. You know how Scottie Pippen looked like. Okay, now imagine Scottie Pippen.
Leave Scottie Pippen alone.
Shut up. Listen. Now imagine Scottie Pippen with hips. Akhenaten was born with two genders. He was the first. He was one of the first Egyptians born with two genders. And he used to have, when he came into power, he had two ceremonies. He used to have two sexual ceremonies once a week. He had one for the men and one for the women. This goes back. This is before the white man like came into power. You know, came out of the cave. Go back further. I mean, like, you go back further to the story that was plagiarized in the Bible about, you know, homosexuality. I had to explain it to my son one time about homosexuality. That's the reason why I mentioned it. I said, they mention it here because they did it somewhere else. They tell us not to do it because it's not productive. But it happened somewhere else. That's why they're telling us, don't do it here, because it won't be to your benefit. You understand what I'm saying? That's why
well,
they
yeah.
said,
I mean,
you know, that's why they said, be with man, be with woman, and multiply, you know, that shit. You know what
I mean? But listen, I mean, I, you know, like I said in the beginning, that's just, you know, one aspect of it. Because, you know, children are impressionable. You know, they see their parents do things, or they see certain things, and then they want to be it. They want to imitate it. And it's beyond just the sexuality factor. I mean, look at, once again, our current times. Kids can't even play with each other no more. It's a debate that's still up in the air, should they go to school. I was watching the news last night, and some guy, they had made a button, and they said they're going to be sticking it on their kids, and, like, no hugs. Like,
that's fucked up.
How do you
that's
tell kids?
Up.
But how do you tell children who are very affectionate to one another? Like, they love hugging. They love doing this.
They're not.
Around.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're social. They don't necessarily hug, but they be right next to each other. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
Especially if you're five, you going to pre-K and shit. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, come sit next to me.
Yeah.
How you gonna tell these pre-K kids? Who probably don't have a lot of family at home, who probably is the only child at home, not to be friendly. to somebody who they cool with. You know what I mean? That's like, yeah, that's black,
this is
white,
where we're going.
Black,
this
white,
is where the world is
black,
going.
Black, mm-hmm, white, or whatever. Black, white, or whatever. You know what I mean? I was like, I as much as I don't like white people, I really don't have no problems making friends with them. But I stay away from them because it ain't about the money. Now, you know, it is definitely about control, but it's also about these people feeding their desires. The whole thing is control, because not only we control your finance, we control what you learn, we control what you know, we control what you eat, we control when you have sex, we control who you have sex with. You know what I mean? It comes a point where we got to stop it. You know what I mean? We got to, and it's not going to come through voting. It's not going to come through that.
I like how Monix said that, feeding your desire, because that is exactly
because the whole thing is a Roman Greco thing. Like, you know, grown men being with little children, being with little boys, or being with little girls. When I was a little boy, I grew up, my uncle had all these magazines, they had porno magazines. That's how I learned how to read. You know what I mean? I couldn't read everything, but I saw the pictures. I saw the pictures,
oh,
and I thought, hey, listen. I'm not being funny.
Sorry.
I'm being serious.
Oh,
it was something that tapped in. I love seeing a naked woman, black, white, or whatever. As a young
man, as I got older. Children.
No.
He's feeling his desire, Reverend B. Let's hear how his desire came out.
You got it.
This is how society gets corrupted.
I'm going to make it short.
Corruption.
Stop laughing. I always wanted to be a man. I never wanted to be a child. Even if I ever had the opportunity to go back to childhood, I would go back to no longer when I, no. 17 to 19. That's it. I will not go back to being whatever it is. I always wanted to be a man, and I always wanted a woman. I always wanted a woman. From the first time I saw, even when I saw a girl my age, maybe like 10 or 9, and she didn't have no hair down there, and she don't have no hair under her arm, I said, I don't like
that. So let me ask you this. So you really have a childhood?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I played with children and shit, you know, with the park and shit like that. But, you know what I mean? I always, like, when I looked at women different. You know what I mean? I looked at my mother's girlfriend different. I squeezed on their booties. I did all kind of little shit.
All right.
Oh,
you
know. I'm going to
bring this home.
Miss Terry is going to come in. And,
I'm gonna bring it home.
Yeah, please. The government.
Listen. The government's influence, because there are a lot of senators, there are a lot of congressmen, that a lot of them, they rainbow living. That's why a lot of them bills were passed during the Obama administration. That's why it was so easy. You know what I mean? And they're the ones that are connected to Hollywood. Promote this, promote that, promote this, promote more of this. Give women more of the feminine energy. But what it is, this is still more of the masculine era. These are men. These are men. And some men, especially young men, are taking what they call the easier way out, because, like, you do all that street shit, you act hard or whatever, the police won't shoot you. Police ain't shooting homos. Police ain't killing homos.
Hold on. I have to put this out there. The views of certain individuals that make comments on the menu do not reflect the staff.
Please, thank you. Thank you with the disclaimer.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you, brother. But, you know, I'll get an email saying,
all right.
You're done, Jack.
All right.
I get where you're coming from, and like I said, this is not an attack. I mean, it was just one aspect. It's just one aspect of it. Like, do children really, like, why are children being put in adult positions? And on top of the fact of, like, nowadays you have in the situations because of the COVID, kids can't go to school, kids can't really play in the park, you know, parents, you know, a whole bunch of social distancing. Like, we're kind of evolving. Well, yeah, but we're kind of evolving.
Yeah, but these things have been happening before all of that.
Yeah, it was.
What?
Sesame Street.
Oh, no. Well,
Sesame Street was teaching all kind
of
crazy
stuff. In terms
of
these children and their innocence, this stuff has been happening way before the COVID. Like, I mean, it's you know, made a rule, you know, worse, but it's just that these things have been happening all the time. Like, I can remember, in terms of innocence, I can remember even when, you know, my mom's kids were younger. Like I said, I was the type of parent, if it was certain things on TV, I would, you know, have to turn from it or whatever. Like, every morning when I got up to get these kids ready for school, and this was back at, like, what was it, MTV or something like that, they would always have on, like, a lot of raunchy videos, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. You would think by that time they would have different types of videos on, but no, it was, you know, booty shaking and all kinds of stuff, so I would have to turn from it. Or whatever, because I'm like, all right, I like the song, but I can't let him see that because he's getting ready to go to school or whatever. But, you know, it's the thing of, you know, the innocent, a lot of, you know, these parents these days, you know, they let the kids see everything. Everything is being shown, and it's too much.
There's no discretion.
It's too much in this.
Yeah,
place.
It's like,
there's
like,
no,
it's like no restrictions.
Nope.
Yeah, it's no restriction
right,
on, like, what you watch
today.
Because I'm thinking when you just said that, Red, like, my parents didn't let us watch Simpsons. It used to come on the Tracy Ullman show, remember, with the clips before they
right.
were Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the Bundys and certain things we couldn't watch. And the first album that I actually listened to with the curse lyrics was The Chronic. Well, Deep Cover, I should
damn.
Say. Only because my father was playing it. I was in high school. My freshman year in high school. This is how long. This is what I'm saying. And I'm sure there was curse records way before that, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But, only because he was bumping it in the house and whatever. He thought he was some freaking Snoop Dogg and them, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hear, I'm serious, and we're hearing this. I remember when my mom would be so pissed, but it's like that was the first actual album that he let me listen to with the curse records. So it's like my parents always gave me little bit at a time, because they know you're gonna find out when you get out there anyway, you know what I mean? But
right.
They want to prepare you before you find out, let's say, from your friends, and you want to be part now of that trend. And I think that's where parents now don't put on that restriction. Sure, teach them about being gay and things like that. They don't have to or question them about certain things. You know what I mean? If you want
right.
to. But parents don't do that. They just let them dive right in, or family members let them dive right in, or they have
right.
been exposed to certain things, like, let's say, molestation or whatever the case may be, because a lot of them are, when you speak to junior high school kids, to me, are more fresher than, let's say, a fourth grader, because they're coming into their own. They're trying to figure out who they are. And if you're not like a self-conscious junior high school kid to me, about yourself, self-aware, I should say, and you know, okay, this is me, and this is what I do, and this is what I don't do, and I think that's what our generation had. We were confident within ourselves. There wasn't peer pressure, like, you can get me to do this. Peer pressure was out there, but I don't need to follow what you're doing. I never wanted to be, like, you know, what other kids was doing when I was younger, or what they was wearing. I wanted to have my own style that you could follow. You get my point? So a lot
right.
of kids don't have that. They're not taught that self-awareness.
There's no originality.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have no originality.
They don't follow the trend.
They follow it exactly. They don't have originality. Absolutely not. Everybody
when
wants to do what everybody else, what they say, what everybody else does.
It's a lot
but
of
sorry,
that.
Where
you
at?
A lot of yeah, I was going to say, I think a lot of it has to do with, like, bullying, right? If you try to stand out now, before we were more original, but now if you stand out, it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
They made what used to be, okay, we all went through bullying, it's part of growing up, but they've made it where it's such a crisis now that if you say, as mean as it sounds, if you say boo to the wrong person, you could wind up being labeled homophobic, you know, just you get all these labels on you because you don't agree with it. But I think back in the days we went through the same thing, maybe not as intense, but we just didn't label.
And you know what?
Right.
I think, but yeah, in our generation, us coming up, we were tougher. Because I remember in school, there was always one or two, you know, people who you use like, all right, yeah, he's gay, but most of us really
didn't care. You didn't fuck with him. He didn't fuck with
you. Yeah, we just didn't care.
Or
like,
you just didn't care.
Like, if we were cool with if we was cool with that person, we were cool with that person. If we wasn't, we wasn't. If that's what it is, but or that person would hang out with majority of the girls, but they were still accepted, you know. No matter what, but they were accepted because no one cared. No one was stressing the fact that, oh, he's acting like this or she's acting like that. No one was really stressing it. We was just living and having fun. And I think that's one of the biggest issues. And even when someone said, oh, shut up because you're gay or shut up because you're this, I remember back in high school, there was this one kid. Now, he seemed like he was real sweet, but at the same time, I heard he had a girlfriend. But if you said something to him, if you called him gay, yo, he would whip your ass. And I saw him and I saw him whip some ass. I saw him do it. And you, like, we were tougher. Now, these egos, these little brains and feelings are fragile. You know, you say the littlest thing, like one of you guys said, you say the littlest thing, like Ms. Cherry said, you say the littlest thing, and you're labeled, oh, you're a bully, or you're this, you're the phobic that, you're this, and it's like, yo, it's not that serious, man. This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Part of growing up is making mistakes and actually just doing stupid shit. I mean, you're going to do stupid shit, you know, all your life probably, but when you're a kid, you get certain passes because you're a kid, so you're learning, so you do more stupid shit. But now it seems like we're taking that away from them because we're judging them early. Oh, well, if you said this or you're acting like that, then, you know, we have to treat you like this. Like everything that a kid does that's not in society, this new society's eyes, is basically villainized. You're just bad. You're wrong. You're no good.
Right.
And that right there, I believe, is just totally wrong. It
shouldn't
even
be like
that.
I'm a diva.
I have no idea.
She
you know,
said, she sent me a
but
video
it's like you also
angry.
box them in, and they also rebel too. So that's another thing you got to think about. Are they that or are they rebelling against being boxed in? That gets frustrating to being boxed in.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
but once again,
like
parents are so out of touch.
When you talk about bullies, I had a gay dude in my class. His name was Courtney. Nice guy. He's still gay. You know what I mean? But,
oh, gosh.
It's just
not about gay people. It's not about sexuality.
But what happens is, verbally, he held his own. Like, when it came to playing the dozen, oh, my God. This dude had a sharp-ass tongue. You say some shit to him, he's like, oh, nigga. Like, okay.
But this is what I'm saying. Why should you be classified though, Ron, and everybody on the panel, just because of what you do behind closed doors, your private sexual life? You understand what I'm saying?
Do you really want me to answer that?
Somebody answer that.
Listen, hold on. My take on it is through genetic. You know what I mean? Through genetic, my mom used to tell me, at a certain age, you know right from wrong. You dig what I'm saying? And what my mama used to say to me, she said, what them niggas do out in the street, you don't do at home. And whatever you don't do at home, you don't do out in the street. And we're going to keep it simple like that. Nigga fuck with you out in the street, he pick you up something. He's bigger than you, he pick you up something, you go off the side of his head. And if there's a bunch of them run, you can't run, you still find you something, pick you up something, and take out some of them. And then try to run and keep moving. And you can't get no more jiu-jitsu than that. But
I wasn't really raised that way.
Oh yeah.
Stop lying.
I was raised by a Leo woman. So
I'm a Leo woman.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever.
Don't come up here fronting. Don't be no problem.
It's Leo season. Please be easy on them as much as I can. I can't with y'all. Leo.
Damn, no.
Be easy with the Leo. If they see, yeah, it's the Leo season right now.
Whatever.
I'm not a Leo. Virgo season is up next, but I'm just saying. Be easy
with
these Leos.
Virgo, please, yes, Virgo.
Oh, my God. I think it's about attention with some.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like you look at kids. Kids are always looking for that attention because they're kids. And sometimes some kids get it, and some kids don't. Some kids can be off on their own, and some kids, you know, they want to perform for the crowd, so they do whatever's necessary to get the attention. They do whatever's necessary to get the likes and get people laughing. I mean, we have taken so much away from children being children and them having a childhood because it's like we can't get our adult shit correct. So now we're screwing up the kids' childhood. So instead of us getting our shit together because we can't make our own decisions, we're just going to sit back and say, oh, I'm going to let this 6-year-old or I'm going to let this 5-year-old make their own decisions. So some time ago when I was reading an article where they were talking about that in certain states they're going to be eliminating that whole thing with your birth certificate where they're going to put you as a male or a female. They're just going to put you as a neutral gender. See, now, you don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just all of a sudden push the child into confusion. And
you don't tell them what to do because you're not in control. You're not in power. That's how they're going to see it.
The thing is, you have to allow them to grow and be who they choose to be. And that, once again, that's just one aspect of it. Because
Why do you care about that?
The whole thing is, what's your agenda is not mine. See, my agenda is raising my child. My agenda is doing what I have to do.
Don't
make me shit. What you eat don't make me shit. Once we allow the system to come into our homes and take power from the parents, that's when we lost.
And that's what it is, Brother D. That is exactly what's happening because our parents were well aware of if their kid was gay and was just sitting there waiting for the time for you to sit down and confirm it for me. You get what I'm saying? They wasn't interested and stressing the fact of, oh, I think you're gay, and if that. They was going with your flow. When the kid is ready, they came out the closet to their parents.
Then there's the thing about the children that you got, like, say, like, from 40 years, 50 years ago, a lot of them were molested.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? A lot of them were molested.
So which is another thing that takes, you know, it's harsh on the mental. You know,
it's something
that you go through. That's an experience, and if it's never addressed, because I mean, we've heard these stories of where people have been molested for years by a relative or by someone else. I mean, come on, but it's not addressed. But you're more concerned about, you know, bullies in school than, you know,
a bully
being molested, being beat at home, you know, child abuse, sex, you know, child trafficking, things of that nature. You're more concerned about telling the parent this is what you can't do, but you're not really addressing the issues of what needs to be done. Once again, we let the system dictate, tell us what to do in our homes, and therefore this is why some of our kids are the way they are. And it has nothing to do with their lifestyle, but it's just that when it comes down to the violence, when it comes down to certain attitudes, you know, when it comes down to even education, what educational programming is on TV nowadays is a bunch of fucking buffoonery that's on TV. It's nothing but violence and a whole bunch of sexual innuendos and nothing educational. And
no,
turn on PBS and watch it all day. PBS ain't even what it used to be from back in the day.
PBS
is really good though.
Because PBS tried to keep up with, like, regular, like, TV. You know what I mean? If you follow the evolution, before people had got cable, it was channel, it was Saturday cartoons, it was after school cartoons with cable. Then PBS was trying to keep up with all. You know what I mean? So,
but now look.
And with our generation, Generation X, as they say, what it was, we got more into the love of money. That's how they get you. See, once you take that money, then you at their mercy. You know what I'm saying? You at the government's mercy. I don't care if you work for it or you beg for welfare. You work for it and you make hundreds of millions of dollars or $1 billion. You know what I mean? Okay. But that's how they got you. That's how, you know what I mean? That's why them NFL players, them NBA players, baseball players, oh, yeah, I'll kneel because everybody else kneels. Because it's cool. Oh, I don't want to kneel because the president, you know what I mean? I don't want to fall out of favor of getting this money. You know what I mean? Because they don't want to be poor. But you already poor. But they don't know that you already poor. You don't have nothing that's your own. The white man wake up on the wrong side of the bed one day. I don't want to. Fuck him, Curry. Fuck him. Put him in the poorhouse. And next thing you know, Curry out there, you know, working with me doing security and shit. You know what I mean? So
it's not. But it's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true. And we're not teaching. We're not giving our children anything of substance.
You can't give them nothing of substance because you're not in the position. You can't get into the position until you move somebody else out of the position. They're not going to be voted out. They're not going to be asked out. Oh, like Malcolm said, it's like, you can't keep asking your oppressor, being nice to your oppressor. That was the only thing. That was the only thing between him and Martin that they had a problem with. He never said really that Martin was ignorant, dumb. He never said that. Because, you know, especially after they met. You know what I mean? What happens is even Martin woke up. Y'all know smarter than Martin? You know what I mean? And just like the technology, once dudes started embracing the technology, now you got some more money, some more trinkets that we fall victim to. You know what I mean? So we got to listen to the man. You got to listen to the man. Why? Because you're comfortable living here. You know what I mean? You're comfortable being in the position you are. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know if we're comfortable being in the position we are, but I know even from our generation, we've been brainwashed, you know, just through the news media and stuff like
that.
I'm thinking how growing up, I would watch Tarzan, and I was clapping because he went into Africa and killed the slaves and saved the white woman so she wouldn't get dirty.
Which Tarzan? With the cartoon one?
No, the real
one. No,
Channel 5?
The real one, not the one on Channel 5.
And then
crazy.
They would even have, even if you look at like Popeye beats up on Bruno. Bruno is brutal, he got an accent, he's brown, he's the evil one. And we would all look at it and be like, oh, Popeye, save our, or whatever.
I love Popeye.
And now, you know, with my son's 21, pretty much, like you said, every movie, every music that's out there glorifies violence, sex, drugs. We don't have, until Tyler Perry kind of got introduced on the scene, we didn't really have too many positive movies that weren't documentaries made about black people. So
Tyler Perry wasn't too popular, wasn't too positive, but.
Well,
he's more positive than the rest.
Yeah, but we had, but it was something. Put it like this: in order to get in the game, sometimes you have to show the makers of the game that you don't really play on a certain side. It's like I'm not going to get into it. So, Lady T, Big Red, and Miss Cherry, and you two, Ron, leave me alone. But
when it comes down, I saw you posted earlier.
Yeah, like just because
I don't agree with that.
You're one
agree.
Of us, and everybody's like, hey, this, that, and the third. I mean, It is what it is. Sometimes you can't show that you have a size.
Mm-hmm.
See, all right, if I have to go out, well, if I have to go there, if you look, it's Kamala Harris. A lot of people are like, yeah, the first female. Like,
wait, not tonight.
All right, strike that comment from the record.
Yeah,
like,
thank
I was
you,
saying
thank
originally.
You.
Like I was saying originally. Sometimes you, in order to get in the game, you got to show a little something that you're not partial. I mean, but that's what a lot of our people have been doing for years, and this is what we teach in our children. So this is why our children are kind of moving a certain way.
Brother, be
like,
real quick
right.
with what you just said. How about coming in as a chameleon in the game? That's how we used to move. And then they would kind of get played at the game. You know what I'm saying?
Because the chameleon always end up being a sellout. You take that money, you got to do what they tell you to do. It's just the same thing like when all them kids, listen, when all them kids got killed by these cops all around in the last 20 years, all them kids got killed and they lost the case, the cops didn't get convicted, you take that money. You can't say nothing after that. Because you're going to take that $10 million. Oh, Abner Louima got a plunge up his ass by cops, blah, 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 New York City in the 90s, $25 million, $30, $40 million. You take that money, you ain't heard nothing from Abner Louima since. You know what I'm saying?
Right about that.
After him giving a plunger, he could have taken nothing. He still would have had a plunger in his butt. So
They would have put him in jail. He took that. Let me tell you something. He took that money because the niggas like Al Sharpton told him to take that money.
But niggas like Al Sharpton are the ones that was the chameleons. They came in the game. He getting that money. He don't give a shit what Abner do after that because Al Sharpton getting paid.
But that's the point. He getting paid.
Yeah,
but that goes back to what Ron was saying.
Which one would you do?
Well, you know what? All right. In a situation like that,
what I won't do is get a plunge in my ass. I'm telling you.
No, but
I don't give a fuck who you are.
It was already done.
I'm putting myself into the equation.
he was already victimized. So his point was either he was gonna take some money, or he was already been victimized or take nothing. What would you do?
You know, it would have sent a message, really.
In all of these situations,
I mean, like,
they are never sending the message. They are taking the money, and that's the problem. And that's why these things gonna continue happening. We fighting for it. You know, these days with Breonna Taylor, so yeah, but they get it now. We hope. Let's see. I get what you said, Ron. This is going to be real interesting with these piles of cases. Y'all see how these cases are piled back to back to back? Them lawyers and all of them, you got to look at these lawyers. They are no different than the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons from back in the day. So they get your pay regardless. That's my point.
I'm telling you, like this is a sellout. Like Kamala Harris, that's a sexy
You see what you just said, Ron, and that's a lot of black men ain't gonna be able to take the emotions out of it to get Trump out of here.
Because a lot of them don't understand themselves, and you don't know how to deal with black women.
Well, a lot of black males want to be
right.
That's my point that I'm making. So we gotta take the emotions out when they go to the polls. Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
We gotta save that, honey.
in the coming weeks, we're going to cook for another topic. So now,
insurance.
Let's back to
insurance. Let's go back to insurance.
it's obvious. Jeez. Now, it's just interesting everything that we're saying and talking about right now in discussion, whether we agree or disagree. And as I get older, I'm starting to realize I'm not even in the realm of agreeing or disagreeing with anybody. I'm just taking what everybody says as a perspective. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate what everyone is saying because too many times nowadays we talk at each other, but we don't talk to each other. And once again, this has always been the basis and the foundation of the menu. It's about communication and talking to one another. It's the type of thing that when kids turn on the TV, they don't know, or even when they go home or come home or they go to school, everything is being said to them. People are talking at them, but no one's really talking to them. So basically, a lot of times I'm sure some of them feel alienated and like no one cares or no one understands or no one is even concerned about what they want because no one is talking to them. Everyone is just talking at them, telling them what to do, this, that, and the third. So what happens? They grab onto something that's going to get them attention, whether it's being a bully or whether they're saying, oh, today I'm gay, tomorrow I'm not, or I want to be a pirate, or I want to be this, or I want to be that. They're looking, you know what I'm saying? They're just looking for something. And the whole thing is, as adults, what are we really doing for them? Like, we're not hearing them, and we're failing them, and we've been failing them for years. So this is why there are certain powers that are saying, hey, if you can't control your children, then either we're going to do it, or we're just going to let them do it.
I remember
going to put the power in their hand.
I remember when the 90s, late 80s, early 90s with CPS. I think it's CPS in New York, Child Protective Services.
It was ACS
at that time.
Yeah. They have so much power. They have so much power with these kids. Then, like, I think it was during the Giuliani administration. Giuliani set it up where you couldn't, they set up a thing where you couldn't discipline your children a certain way.
Yeah, remember.
You know why?
New York State.
Yeah.
It was a New York State thing before it became a national
thing.
But remember what
it didn't become a national thing. It didn't become a national thing until, I think, Clinton.
No, but wait a minute. Remember what happened in New York? It was the whole big thing with I think it was Lisa Steinberg.
Yeah, where they chained that kid.
Yeah, it was
doing the crazy shit to the little girl and shit like that.
Yeah, it was.
And they set up a president. So once that went down, like 97 going into 99, it was a thing where they added more police than overall New York State. And they started, I think it might have been the late 80s, 90s, they started charging. They put it on record, like in New York. I think it was a federal thing where they started charging teenagers as adults for adult crimes, for murder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For murder. So it's like then I think they started, what's that, police? What did you call that? The paramilitary? The monitor, they went from security
what do you got them
paramilitary looking, they're not auxiliary cops, but they're in the schools now in New York City.
School safety,
that's a fairly new thing. I don't even think
that's in school, they were down with NYPD when it started, when they put the metal detectors in there.
That's when parents lost control of their kids. And then
Ron, one second. And also, don't forget you have PINS, Person in Need of Supervision. So parents will take those kids through that program thinking, thinking that, you know, you acting up, let's just get this, you know, settled. You in junior high school age around this time, a lot of those kids. And what they not realizing, that's just another form of being incarcerated. A lot of those kids went to Spofford and all of these things.
They don't have it anymore, right?
But I'm saying this is no different than a juvie. This is my point.
Yep.
To the juvenile jails, that's how they had Spofford set up. But
yep.
the parents didn't know that. But you're going to end up going to Rikers Island. A lot of those PINS cases, a lot of them, they in the future were arrested, were sentenced, did bids. You know what I mean? So it's not helping as far as reform. It doesn't help.
None of that stuff was meant to help. They knew what they were doing when they implemented that. They knew that when they implemented all of that, what it was going to do. They knew it.
But what do you think was the end game?
Mm-hmm.
The whole end game is control. If you get these kids, it is always a fear. With the government, is always a fear factor. You understand what I'm saying? It's always a fear factor.
And not only control with the kids, with their parents
too,
and taking advantage of them not knowing. Is this going to save my kid? They don't tell you that it's not going to save your kid. Put your kid in and
find
out.
They've been doing this in control. They've been projecting the future. What was that? What president was that?
But
it was before Ford. They've been doing this since the dude with the glasses that started that fucking Korean War. Harry Truman.
They've been projecting.
Listen, as far as government having more control over its citizens, they've been doing this since the Harry Truman era, possibly the Woodrow Wilson era.
Whose fault is that?
It's our fault for not. It's our
of
fault
course.
For allowing it. We got to move
also
them out of
our
position.
Fault for not knowing it and getting educated on certain things.
But there are
know.
Some
it's really,
people.
It's really,
there
it's
are some
really
people that
our
warned
fault
us.
Because we didn't
there
challenge
some people
it.
That
we didn't challenge
us.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
There
yeah, we were
warned,
people
but
that,
we never challenged it.
You got people like Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey warned us of this. Malcolm warned us of this. You got people like Dr. York, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Anderson. They warned us about it.
So what do you think? What do you think we should do moving forward?
We have
because
to
you know
move.
What I'm saying. Because now, look at the situation. Once again, there's a divide. What do you think we should do moving forward?
It's easier said than done, of course. But what happens is it starts with the money. We take less and we do what we have for ourselves. We don't worry about certain shit that don't matter to us.
The easiest thing is to take care of your private household first, because don't nobody know what's going
take
on in your household
building.
Till you step
but,
out
but,
and speak on it.
But wait a minute.
Hold on.
This is for Lady T because she's in the educational system. And I have to ask, moving forward, with September coming, how are you guys planning to adapt to these changes? And what's going to happen with the kids?
Well, I could only give you a brief detail because of what is out already as far as the parents being sent, you know, the consent slips and things like that. They have certain options on there. It's now up to you to follow through on those options. I've overheard parents say, oh, I'm getting tired of my kids. They going, they miss their friend, they miss this. So you could go back to school, miss your friend, and God forbid, get the coronavirus. You get what I'm saying? The child. All because you have these choices. It has an option there to opt out and do remote schooling still at home. But these parents are so in their emotions with their kids, your own kids, that you care if they see their friend. Let's get this coronavirus out of the way. He can see his friend next year. They are giving you that option on the paper. You understand
you're
what I'm saying? Take that
you're
option.
You're not getting it.
But they... No, they have that option. They got three options that they gave parents, whatever the
of
case
course.
May be.
But you're not getting rid of corona. This is going to
yeah,
be around.
Yeah, listen, I don't know. They got to figure it out. But in the meantime, you
they
do
know.
Have,
they already
you
know.
Have to,
they already
listen,
know.
They, we know they already know. But I'm saying
yeah.
you have this option. But to hear parents, certain parents, like just hearing them talking, like, oh, man, my kid is tired of being home and this, that. All right. So I'm tired of seeing them. So you just send them to school. That's what they
want
to do.
Of seeing you tired of seeing your kid? That's crazy.
I'm not trying
going,
to see. I want my kids
no,
to be
no.
safe. No,
that,
I know.
True.
I'm saying in general.
That like
that. Yeah, no, I know.
Their parents.
Yeah.
Their parents are like that. Their kids being home 24
and
hours.
And I'm like,
no,
when your kid is gone, when your kid is gone, and you're wearing all
that's
black,
the
and
same
you're
thing
the funeral,
I said.
Oh,
but I think
that's my point that I'm making. You are given that full-blown option. They're not saying, oh, don't you have to put your kid back in school? They give you that. Check that box. I'm going to do remote training with them. Remote learning, I mean, with them, and check it out and follow through. Why you can't do that? It's your child. Now it's your responsibility to educate them.
Mm-hmm. And they do that, and they put it back on the parent. So what Cuomo did, he took the responsibility of the state and the local school board, whatever, put them out the way so you can't sue them if your child catch corona.
Absolutely.
So something y'all don't know. Real quickly, what
hold
Ron just said, Cuomo, that option was always there for homeschooling. Every parent always had that option even before this with the Board of Ed.
Yeah,
you know what
okay.
I mean?
Mr.
And you were
yeah,
always
sorry.
Responsible. Yeah, so...
Yeah,
yeah.
I hear you, Lady T.
But Cuomo
yeah,
ain't
crazy,
slick.
But
he ain't
wait.
Slick. He ain't slick. He is not slick at all.
Well,
because the state
wait,
don't
want
to get sued for none of that shit.
No, hold on, Ron. What was you gonna say, Miss Cherry? Because I'm even trying to.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so my son is grown, but my nephew is school age. He's going into middle school. And my sister works in the medical field, so she's real particular. Like, when talk about quarantine, I don't think my nephew's seen his friends since maybe, like, February or March, unless it's on Zoom or through the PlayStation or whatever else he used to communicate with him. But he's not running around. In my neighborhood, though, I don't know what they call quarantine, but everybody's kid is playing with each other anyway. So I know there are parents that are, like, they're very apprehensive about sending them back and, you know, if they go into school, they're going to get corona. But these are the same parents that have their kids in the park. You know, they have soccer games going on. They have basketball games going on. And
mm-hmm.
you literally drive past the park and see hundreds of them playing. So what's the difference?
Yep.
I think they should
well,
be
the difference
more
is,
focused
well, the
on...
difference is they're outside. They're outside. They're not so much in a confined
they're...
space like a classroom.
They're touching
mm-hmm.
each other.
When kids
of
a
certain
age. They're
breathing
on each other.
Well,
they don't have masks on.
Don't forget it's a surface to skin, whatever is going on, it's surface to skin. So they more concerned than the school, surface to skin. You're going to be touching chairs all day, the walls, the bathroom, everything. You're supposed to everything surface to
skin. They're on each other. And then
mm-hmm.
also, if you bring your kids out to the supermarket, if you bring them out to restaurants, as soon as you get in
mm-hmm.
a restaurant, you pull your mask down in order to eat. So you can't say that you're scared for your kids to go to a closed environment and then you take them to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, Ms. Terry. If you had a child that age going to school, would you send them to school or would you do remote learning?
I would have to send them. I'm a single parent. I got to work. But if I had a choice where I could, well, now I'm working remotely. So if I had a choice, I would keep them home. I would quarantine them. But if you don't have a choice, or even, and I can tell you with my nephew, I don't like the aspect that he's not socializing. I do see it. I mean, they're talking to each other on the Zoom or whatever else they have, house parties,
but
whatever.
But people need
have,
human
whatever
contact.
Yeah.
Exactly. They
yep.
need to
people
how
have to have human contact.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's going
to
make a lot of these kids
know how to interact.
Yeah. Right.
They
absolutely.
Also sometimes even with bullying, you learn how to get a thicker skin.
That,
you don't
absolutely.
Get that if you're always at home.
It
and even with Ms. Cherry said with the socializing, that's also part of brain stimulation and things like that when you socialize
Absolutely.
With your friends and stuff.
That's
so they're
how you
losing
build
some
character.
Of that. Yeah, and like
right.
child
that's
brains
how you build
are easy to build and repair. So it's like they're losing out on some of that too. So,
right, absolutely.
We might
so
have a lot of loners
uh-huh.
after this. You got to be concerned about that too. Now, when
right.
your child does
right.
go back and everything does go back to normal, the conditions and the condition of their mental state, and people forget, we think it's just adult mental state. There might be a
right.
lot of kids that's loners. They don't want to talk no more when they go back to school. Let's say things like that really happen.
Right,
well,
absolutely.
Like when the media,
they're
going to
be on some, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, real quick, like the media focusing on all the violence and everything that's been going on. I mean, if everybody was kept home and quarantined for 3.5 months, what did you expect was going to happen when the outside opened up again? Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as people want to try and make it seem like, you know, there's this huge spot. I mean, violence is always going to happen. You know, so whether it's out in the streets, it's on TV, or a president decides to go blow up a country and say, oh, we had to do it for the
but
good
don't
of
think,
our country. You know
little,
what I'm saying?
A little side comment. Don't you think that ties into the bail reform that happened in January when we opened up the prison gates and said, okay, you know, we're going to send you home and you can come back on a summons, and then Corona hit. And you had all these people out on the street that you were no longer monitoring, and now we have a problem. We have a problem.
Well, yeah, I agree. That's a great, that's
and
a
you
great
always,
point
yeah.
right there.
You're always going to have
that's
a problem
a
when
right
you're
there.
Isolated and then you're let out. So that's a good way of looking at it, too.
Yeah,
I worked in a hotel where they had some of those people that came out because of the Corona thing. And some of them, man, mm-hmm. it's like they were nonviolent. There's a lot of them that was nonviolent, but still, it was just like.
Yeah, those are
know,
the ones that they released early, the nonviolent offenses.
You know, looking around,
yeah.
looking
yeah.
around, and shit, looking for something to get into. I was like, and I talked to them, like, I got into a situation with one or two of them. And I'm like, you know, don't get it twisted, man. It's like, there's some real niggas out here, too. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
and they
listen,
all,
what is that
and
saying?
And they're not all street niggas. And they're not all street niggas.
But
so
what's that saying? The old school saying wrong? The elders used to say the idle hands is the devil's tool. You know what I'm saying?
The devil was a lie because he ain't real. Look, let me tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Ain't nothing. That's the thing. See, like, we give the invisible, this bullshit devil, too much attention. Meanwhile, the real Lucifer and the real
devil.
God. Bro,
I'm talking about
the
invisible devil.
No, there ain't
no
invisible
devil.
Listen to me.
You got to bring it back.
Do the research yourself. The original devil is a white man. The original Lucifer is a black man. The original God is black man. So before all of them, and if you study how they tied into everything, they not the original nothing. You know what I mean? We were the predecessors to all of that. You know what I mean? We were the predecessors.
Don't want
to
talk about the kids.
I'm just talking about the kids because.
Talk about the kids.
You know what I mean? It's just like the kids ain't gonna listen until we get it.
Anything but the kids.
Anything but
you know what I mean?
The kids
ain't gonna listen to shit you do. Listen, and I put this post up a while ago. Women, black women, and black children will never respect or listen to anything the black man says as long as white supremacy.
Oh boy, Ron, let's go on.
Ron, just spend it and
Lord
put the stamp on it.
He had to drop it.
You want your kids to listen to you? You want your kids to listen to
you? They listening to you now, Ron. They got their ears to this.
Listen now.
You need to stop.
All over the world, brother.
Y'all are. Well, for real. I mean, you see it. For real. I'm like, the kids, who the kids listen to on the block? The nigga that's feared. You know what I mean? We love children. But
mm-mm-mm.
If the children, if they don't fear you, they not listening to you. They ain't going to respect you. And if they don't respect you, they ain't going to listen to you. So I'm like, and especially the woman, the black woman, nigga, you ain't, go back to Jody. Jody, you ain't going to do shit. You ain't going to do shit.
Oh,
wait
a minute. God.
Jody. Fuck you going to do, right, Jody?
Stop.
Who's Jody? Ron.
That's
Jody.
No,
Ron.
Oh, boy.
If you talk about Jody, you respect somebody without fearing
them. No, it's Jody.
You can respect people without fearing them.
No, it don't, and
it
don't work.
With that
no, y'all remember
you
when your parents and grandparents would just give
you
the eye,
who's
and y'all knew what
time
it was.
Hold on. Who's the person that said they don't agree with me?
I don't agree with you, Brian. This is Joe.
All right, listen. How many children you got?
I have one.
You have one.
I raised four.
I raised four, and they grown, and they know I'll knock the shit out of them, so I can have a good conversation with them. You got one.
But they
is
can
it a male?
Respect you without being afraid.
Yeah, my son
and
I laughed the shit out of them too.
Hey.
That's how our parents was with us. One look, you knew what
that's
time
right.
it was. They wasn't playing. One strong tone in her voice. You knew what time
it
was.
Because you knew. Because
three of
us.
All she had to do was give me a look. My mother had to do. She had to look at me a certain way, and I said,
behind that look. You knew what was behind that look.
If you didn't know
what was behind that look, you look back at your mother and you're like, what the fuck wrong with you? Why you looking at me like that?
I remember walking with my mother and she would say if I did something wrong, and she's like, all right, wait till you get home. And you would be praying, walking, just thinking, wait till I get home. I don't want to get home yet. I don't want to get home. You would have that fear.
Yes.
You
so
have
I mean, not
fear.
That, not that, not that, not that.
When you
talk about
relationships between male and women, men and women, I don't think you have to fear somebody to respect them.
That's a different.
Respect. You respected your parents. You had respect for them. You had respect where you didn't want to disappoint them. These kids don't have that now. I'm going to disappoint you now. Deal with me later attitude.
They don't fear. My mother made me fear her before I feared them streets. I'm telling you.
Well, you can't do that no more. My mother put the fear of God in the nigga.
Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to raise my daughter. I didn't have to raise my daughter or my sons like that. But I let them know from the gate, like, yo, what's up? You get fly with your mother? You better not get fly with your mother.
But you know what? We don't have that control anymore. That's out the window. We don't have that control anymore. We can't tell, you know, we can't tell our kids what to do or how to do it. We can't do that anymore. We can't.
Talk that shit. Oh, be a friend. Like, that's what white people go wrong. Be a child friend. Fuck being a friend. I got enough friends. I got a child to raise, nigga. Fuck out of here. I ain't your friend. I'm your father. Fuck that. You want friends? Go to school. Go to circus. Go get a
that's
job.
That's right. That's what I say.
Fuck out of here.
Listen, I agree with you with that. I ain't your goddamn friend.
That's your fucking
friend. No, I ain't your friend, no. And I tell my sons that all the time. Now, we have a different type of relationship because they're grown. Because, you know, they're all of a certain age. That's different.
Uh-huh.
When they was younger, I tell my sons all the time, I ain't your goddamn friend. Don't play with me like that. I am not your friend.
My stepsons was always like, yo, why you always put your hands in your pocket when you talk to Rakaya? I said, I do that because she got a smart mouth, honestly. You dig what I'm saying? But you won't be around when I do check it. You know what I mean? And it's just like some stuff she say. She's a very intelligent young lady. You know what I mean? But I didn't have to raise her the way I was raised. And I let her rock. I let my niece rock because Grandma Bessie had a slick mouth. You know what I mean? So some shit you can't correct. That's you. You know what I mean? My mama got a slick mouth. My aunt got a slick mouth. All of my aunts got some slick shit. Sharp tongues with it. So you can't beat a child for being themselves. You know what I mean? But you won't talk to me like that. You ain't gonna talk to me like that and come ask me for money. You know what I mean?
But
so
see,
it goes
back. You see how you sound? How you sound right now and everything that you're saying could be interpreted as, oh, he's abusive. This is the world that we live in.
That's what
everything
you're
that you said, you sound like you're abusive. That's what the interpretation.
Interpret it as you want. and you interpret it as you want. Yeah,
Mr. Ron, you are being emotionally abusive to these kids.
Issues.
We are going to need to get ACS on this case immediately.
Yep.
Well,
you
let somebody come in this house and see what happens.
See what happens.
I know some cops too. You know cops? I know some cops too. My cops are bigger than yours. I know some judges too. I talk some big shit, but I can back it up too. So you want to go push some paper? I can push some paper too. Or I know some motherfuckers that can push some paper too. What the fuck
that's
you
how it'll
do?
Be. You'll have those Karens that just overheard that
come on,
conversation
Karen.
That you having.
Come
you
on,
know
Karen.
What I mean? So.
You know what beats the Karen? A Ruthie. You know what a Ruthie is? A flag waver that want to sleep with Karen. That's who beats the
Karen. Oh, Lord have you know what?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that I've personally, it's always a pleasure, you know what I'm saying, to have these discussions. And it's real. As much as some people, you know, they can take it for what they want, but, you know, it's real talk. No, we're not in positions as parents to really do what we're supposed to do for our children. Moving forward, everything is going to be like a roll of the dice. Because God forbid one kid gets sick in the school, the next thing you know, everything is shut down and we back to square one.
It's going to get sick.
Yeah,
but it's already happening.
But we're not preparing ourselves. We're not preparing ourselves
even,
to do what
and
we're
it ain't even
to do.
Fall yet. And it ain't even fall yet.
Yeah.
Baseball players were getting sick left and right, and the season didn't even begin yet. You know what I mean? So imagine when that first cold breeze comes. Like, oh God! Imagine when that comes. You know what I mean? Come on, man.
Well,
rolling the dice. You don't gamble with these dudes, man. The game is fixed. If the game is fixed, you don't play. You stand and you make other ways. You know what I mean? You collect the vibe.
Well,
y'all come inside and inform that United Front that we need to combat the game. You know what I mean? Unity beats the game.
Well, I got you. But before we roll out, so, Miss Cherry, any parting thoughts?
No, I think we were all over the place. We covered a lot of things.
Yeah, we covered some serious
sure.
ground. We was kind of all over the place. Big Red,
we got to move for.
I'll just say this, like
our VP.
Well, I'll say this. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the innocence is lost now. Like these kids have no. It's no innocent anymore. They can't be innocent. They can only be innocent from when they leave. I mean, from birth to, I'd say about 5 or 6 years old. After that is a wrap. So, it's up to us to try and, you know, parents to try and keep that innocence, but it's going to be hard. It's a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got
Lady
say.
T?
I'm going to say, like what I say all the time, that I think we just need to get a grip in our household first before we could go out there talking about exactly what's going on. And Brother Ron should have been the VP pick. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. We would have been at we've been at war tomorrow. Brother Ron, you have any goddamn
right. You got unity beats war, unity beats the game. You don't have to play the game. Study China. Study what they did, even though they had their land and culture. So they knew how important that the children and the woman is. The man like, had to get out. You study the Vietnam War. Study the Vietnam War and what they did. The Vietnamese fought Chinese, they fought the Japanese, they fought the French, and they fought the Americans and whoever else that came in. And they ain't had one or nothing to anything. They ain't had no money, they had nothing. All they had was some shit that they got from Russia. You know what I mean? When they were fighting. And then the same motherfuckers that were fighting, they came to their aid to help them fight their enemies. You know what I mean? We don't have no allies. We gotta stop voting for our oppressor, and we gotta stop voting for each other.
like she said, take care of your house. If you take care of your house, you can take care of your community. If you take care of your community and own shit in your community and own business, you can have some say when it comes to real voting. It's not real voting until we vote as one. You can't vote as, like you got fucking options. You're getting fucked sideways from everybody. And you still think you got options? Fuck out of here. We tell them. No one dictates.
We probably all agree with him. This is going to be the first and last time.
Nobody dictates policy. Listen. Hold on. To the Japanese, to the Chinese, to the Jews.
All right,
Ron,
go ahead now. Let's slow down.
Nobody dictates policy.
With less than 10 seconds left, Lady T, Big Red, Miss Cherry,
yeah.
And Ron, you guys have a great
you
year.
You too.
Be safe. And growing with Ron was amazing.
I love y'all.
Good night,
take care of them kids.
All right. Good night, guys. I think, yeah.